Good morning. Today is Monday, the 16th of January. Somebody here isn't working. Mr. Dalby.
Yes, we pre-recorded this, so I'm actually not in the studio today because it's a holiday.
But in honor of a holiday, you're wearing blue on blue on blue.
There you go.
Way to go.
But I'm not doing the, I don't know why this is an issue, but
it's not.
The double denim, you know, like wearing a denim coat with denim
jeans.
Oh, was
that a denim coat?
No, but it's not. But you just reminded me of blue on blue, you know.
Well, your rodeo buckle that you bought at the store.
I don't have one, but it's an idea.
I think at our stage, it's either that or suspenders. Take your pick.
Yeah. Belt and suspenders.
Yeah. Oh, are you ready for why do we say that?
Why do we say that?
I guess I would also ran.
Also ran.
Also
see,
ran.
I always say also ran like it's a D at the end, but there's no also ran. Wow. I believe you. And I have no clue.
Good. Okay. Confirmation yet again.
Yes.
Many horse races end with the first three animals crossing the line. Others in the field follow, but the order in which they finish may not be announced. Newspapers of the 19th century made readers familiar with animals that placed in major races. All three were frequently described with their times, owners, and winnings listed. Toward the end of such a story, it was a common practice to mention many or all of the other horses that
also ran.
Presidential elections came more and more to resemble horse races with crowded fields. Greenback, Anti-Monopoly, United Labor, National Silver, and other new political parties were formed. In reporting results of an election, newspapers dismissed many an aspirant for the White House as an
also ran.
One who was so far back in the field that his finish wasn't computed. By the turn of the century, the political term borrowed from the racetrack was being applied to a person badly beaten in any competition.
Oh, boy. So that applies to
the Raiders.
Yeah.
Who were also ran. Yeah.
Also played. Let's see. So that applies to us in so many ways. If we were in a running race, we would have also walked.
Yes. Yeah. Or also been also ran over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In politics, I think we'd be an also ran. Yeah.
Yeah.
It applies to us.
Yes. We'd be there. Oh, boy. So what are you hearing? Last time we got together, we were on solid footing, and things didn't have to be tethered in place.
Yeah, this was quite a shaker that we had.
Yeah, the last couple weeks have been dynamically dynamic, and now we're getting that normal thing called rain that seems to be freaking out a bunch of folks.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of rain.
Yeah.
Well, we might even have, like, accumulated.
Lakes filled.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Shock. Probably need an EIR for that.
You know, I didn't look. Are they getting snowpack out of this?
Oh, yeah, 4 or 5 feet a day.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Avalanche warnings.
Okay, that's really good news.
Yeah.
Not the avalanche warnings.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What are you hearing around town? Everybody kind of go okay with the branch down in Fortuna?
So for Eureka and Arcata, just kind of non-events for our branches, you know, the biggest issue is one of my trophies fell off of a shelf and broke the corner off of a countertop. So, you know, that was our
devastating. Not off the trophy.
The trophy was destroyed. Yeah. But off the countertop.
Kind of like
above.
Your memories?
Yeah. kind of like that.
Yeah.
So, my point is we didn't have much happen there.
Nominal.
Same thing with Henderson Center, no real issues.
Even on the upper floors where you might have gotten a little bit more wiggle?
Yep, we didn't have any problems at all. And then Fortuna, that's all new construction. So, you know, we built that in 2007, I think. And so no issues there. But certainly... we have folks in Rio Del.
Yeah.
Not so much. Scotia wasn't, you know, as bad. Had some issues. And Ferndale had some issues. Mostly broken stuff as opposed to broken buildings.
So in those situations,
that's what I'm aware of.
Do you have the flexibility as an institution? Not you personally, but the institution have flexibility to do things that not everybody would either think that a bank would or just that you want to do?
So the challenge we have, so let's break it down. You've got commercial buildings and property, and then you have residential, which would be, in our world, consumer. And most of the damage was on the consumer side. And so the problem you have is both the federal government and the state of California have an incredible number of rules and regulations about lending into lending to consumers. So we have all these disclosures and restrictions. So it's
just
really
pro forma routine stuff.
Well, it has to, when you design a product, because that's what we're talking about, is trying to design a product for to help people with earthquake damage. We have a number of issues here. It's, you know, generally involves in construction. You know, can you get a deed of trust? Because most of these things are more than most people would qualify for on an unsecured basis. So there's just a myriad of problems.
So that would be the equivalent of like a line of credit?
Correct. It'd have to be like a home equity loan, but it's not, and here's the complication, is it's not based on the current value of the building or the structure.
Right.
It has to be based on the completed building, I mean the restored building.
The projected value. Yeah.
Exactly, which means you have to get a construction appraisal. You know, these are the regulations that we rent. You have to get a construction appraisal, what it's going to be like when it's done. You have to have contracts in place, and we have to mandate, you know, monitor all of the construction. So it becomes very challenging to do that and stay within the boundaries. And so we started working on it, but then you know, the other challenge we had is that it was not listed by the federal government. So FEMA was
Murphy's
not.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your
right.
day the healthy
and,
way.
But the
from
SBA
drinks to snacks and everything in
stepped
between.
Up to the plate,
right now,
declared
Amy
an emergency
and Brian coconut
for that
water
area.
Is only $1.99.
And they now
brew
SBA
Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49.
So
a 6-ounce Keo Play yogurt is only $0.79. And don't forget about Chicken of
the
Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
That would have been the challenge. You know, you could do unsecured lending. I think one of the credit unions out of Garberville, they put together a program. But it was $5,000. For most people, that's not going to do
much.
It's
not the porch steps, yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 819. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude from Redwood Capital, John Dalby. John, the regulations and the restrictions and the challenges that you alluded to in the first segment about dealing with a localized situation and being able to respond in a timely fashion. I think timely is probably the biggie. There's no asterisks, no variables, no appeals, no nothing that you could do and shoot it out to whoever the regulators are and say, hey, guys, this is what we want to do. Can you fast-track this thing so that we can help our community out?
Well, you know, one of the challenges, again, is you have multiple regulators. So you have the
and
FDIC
everybody would, have to be...
would have to endorse it. The Department of Financial Institution would have to endorse, so that would be the state. And then you have the Federal Reserve would also have to endorse it all and then, you know, give you some sort of amnesty.
You would think, you know, with the hurricanes that go on, and granted FEMA's normally right there.
Yep.
Okay, and let's say if FEMA had declared the local to qualify, does that loosen anything up?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
But it brings in all the FEMA programs. And that's what we were lacking on this particular earthquake, is we did not get that designation. So FEMA wasn't involved. And in fact, I was surprised when the SBA stepped up to the plate. And whoever, I should find out who it was that made that decision. But they really helped out this community when they made that decision.
So do you, talk about a short half-life. SBA was involved to a certain extent with PPP.
They were PPP.
Okay. So are you able to work with the SBA on behalf of the customers? Is the SBA direct in this one?
So this one's a direct, this is a direct program. Okay. So we had PPP, which was designed for banks to put them together. They used us to do all the paperwork, and then they funded those loans, and then
but you guys were the contact point for some.
But we were the contact, yeah. So we handled everything for the customer. So it was invisible. The SBA's participation was pretty much invisible to the client.
And that's not the way it is.
This program, no. And there was another program with the SBA, and I'm trying to recall the name of it, during the same period of time. And that one was a direct program in which you actually went online and you applied directly to the SBA.
That wasn't the EIDL program, was it?
It was the EIDL program. Yeah. So EIDL loans were done directly and became complicated. If you had an EIDL loan and then you went for PPP, that created some complications, but we worked through them.
No, I believe the payback of the don't worry about it,
yeah,
was the complicating factor in those things.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was.
Yeah.
You can't have both.
Right. Well, at least not to the extent that many were told that they could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has that worked through the system, or did you guys have to come in on the white horse for some folks?
We did. We did hundreds of these things. In fact, nobody did even came close to the number of PPP loans we did. And I really got to thank our staff. I mean, they really stepped up. The day that they opened up the PPP for fundings, it was a Friday afternoon. Saturday, I had volunteer employees. We probably had 30 or more employees volunteer. And we cranked out hundreds of those on the first day. And yeah, I'm really proud of what they did. And then they worked through Sunday, and then they started working evenings to process all these for our clients. And it was amazing. We have people inquire about this, and because of our system, we were able to, within hours sometimes,
get them
an approval and funding the next day.
So with that, I forget what it was, the overpromising, I guess. I had heard that there were a number of businesses in the area that took the government at their word and thought that if they got a dollar, then they got a dollar, and they didn't realize that they might have to pay back 50 cents of that dollar. Kind of like put being called, I guess. And that a lot of folks were in some tough steads. Were those things that you guys were able to help out with?
Yeah, we didn't have any issues with that. In fact, we've gotten forgiveness on all of them but one, and that one is because they haven't completed the application for the forgiveness.
Oh,
so we're waiting on that. But we've out of the hundreds we've done, we only have one left.
Oh, well, that's. That almost makes it sound real instead of saying everybody.
Yes.
But I would suspect you want to cattle prod and get that last one across the finish line.
I always have to include that number, when I tell the board what we did in loans, I've got to less the,
And one.
Yeah. Less the one PPP loan. But that was, I got to say, that was a fantastic product to get money in the hands of businesses very, very quickly, and it worked.
Yeah, now we'll talk a little bit about that back.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's for everybody. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital. John, the downtown, the main branch, has a little bit different look to it. I know that there's been a lot of discussions of challenges going on, whether it's with parking or projected parking or lack of projected parking or lack of parking. And it's always been intriguing to me how people perceive parking lots as being all parking lots are public parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the case. I mean, somebody's going to park out here.
And less so now than it was before.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is our property. It's our lawn. Go home.
Yeah.
And sometimes people get a kind of an attitude about it.
Yep.
You guys have had one for a while, and I know you've had a lot of the employees parking in there because tough to find parking spots that are not making it more inconvenient for customers than they would have otherwise. But now you got fence up. To me, it looks cool. I love those wrought iron fences. I think it's harkens back to the Victorians for me. But I would suspect that that's not quite the case for you guys.
Yeah, it's not there for aesthetics.
Yeah. But it do look good.
Yeah. In fact, they're putting in the electric motors right now so we can close the gates. But that said, we've got two challenges going on, and we've actually got three. One is parking is going away in the downtown, and the parking lot to the front side of the bank. Which is at...
You mean the Daly's parking lot?
The Daly's parking lot.
Thank you.
Fourth and G.
Let's go traditional references here so you don't lose me.
So that was the public parking lot.
Yes.
There was also one across from on Fifth Street across from the post office, Fifth and H.
Right, and that's always been kind of like...
It was metered.
Yeah, metered, and it was for the retailers in the next door to them across in the post office for overflow and... That's
right.
Changed also.
So those were slated to become low-income housing projects. And then, if that would have happened, we would have had to relocate the branch. You know, right now, or before, we had the parking lot that's now being fenced in at 4th and G Street. And we had all kinds of problems there with the credit union members using our parking lot to go to the credit union. They'd use our parking lot to go to Chase. They'd use our parking lot to go to the various businesses.
Shop Old Town?
Yes. And so it was very frequent that we would have very few people in the bank and the parking lot's full. So that was one issue. And then with the... the pressure on parking is going to get worse when they start the project behind Lost Coast Brewery. That whole parking lot is going away. And not only during the construction period will that not be available for parking, but now you're going to have contractors parking on the street all over the place. So we see a huge problem coming up for parking. So we wanted to be proactive with it. So we did a deal with the city in which we purchased... it's a complicated transaction, but I'll simplify it. We purchased a piece of ground that they could actually put more units on. It's near shopping. It's near schools. It's not in the middle of
nowhere.
101.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, those two lots.
Well, it's an abyss for housing. I mean,
right.
It shouldn't be there. Yeah.
So it was a win-win. But we had to spend a lot of money. We ended up with three additional parking lots. Now we own four parking lots. We own
and the ability to maintain those four.
Yeah, that's great. So we've turned fifth and fourth, and G is now a private parking lot. And our employees and some lease lessees park there. They have assigned spaces. It's all, and that's
kind of like
well.
What the other one was, or half of the other one was,
right
behind the brewery. Yeah.
And then the one on Fifth and G Street, or Fifth and H Street. Sorry, Fifth and H. Yeah, you know, we're trying to lease that parking lot out. And then we also have the parking lot at 5th and K in front of City Hall.
The one where the City Hall employees park?
Correct. And so all the City Hall parking lots are going away. Two of them will become low-income housing, and then we own the third.
The one that's on the 5th Street side?
5th Street side, yes.
I would suspect that there might be a certain governmental jurisdiction, county, yeah. would be interested in that with their construction projects with the jail and just what the jail is going to do.
Well, there's and the construction of the jail is going to create some parking challenges down there. So we're open to whatever happens with that lot. And then
are you able to cover the cost of the parking lot?
No.
With leasing?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
I know there's whispers.
Not even close.
Yeah. Don't think about it. Don't talk to me about it. Okay. Because I know that the county is, there's another idea surfacing about a multi-level across in the parking lot that they've got there for additional county parking
mm-hmm.
because there's no problem with parking in downtown Eureka.
Well, that's what we were told over and over again. And so if anybody's complaining about us, privatizing the parking downtown. Just contact
Don't worry about
City
it,
Hall.
There's no
they'll,
problem.
They'll
parking.
Let them know yeah. that there is no parking problem in yeah. Eureka.
Well, and that's with the retail setting as it is now. I mean, you look at the south side of Fifth Street. There's not an awful lot in the downtown area from Vern's going down until you hit. Well, where? I guess Starbucks maybe.
Starbucks, yeah. It's, you know.
There's not an awful lot historically referencing what had been.
Yeah, and that's been an ongoing challenge from, you know, ever since the creation of the Bayshore Mall. You know, that impacted the downtown retailers. Then you have the movement towards online shopping. Then COVID hit, and then everybody went online because that's what you could do. And so the storefronts, you know, we've just seen them disappear and dry up. It's very sad.
Well, now the cratering of the marijuana industry, that'll free up some more spots. But you'd think some of those could be converted over to housing, since there's no parking problems.
Yeah.
Time for a break? Okay.
Yeah, it's time for a break.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby. So, John, when you look around town, city of Eureka, for this reference, what do you see? You know, in addition to the parking being or not being a challenge, there's actual construction going on, which is kind of cool. There's some more projected to happen, which is kind of cool. You know, it's kind of like there's participation going on a little bit. A lot of properties for sale. Which takes higher reference for you? For sale signs on commercial property or new commercial property being constructed?
Well, most of the construction is government projects. The creation of low-income housing is the biggest pieces. Then we'll have the intermodal system that'll be behind the Lost Coast Brewery and that parking lot.
Right, and the building where Northern Marine Hardware used to be in Old Town.
Correct.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, it's like it's filling in. For me, it's filling in what used to be there. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know what it was, but you knew it had to be a three-story because that's what everybody was in the neighborhood at that time. So yeah. That kind of feels nice.
So for the most part, the retailers, you know, it hasn't been a boom, but the ones that are left, I should say, seem to be doing all right. Some of them getting more creative. But I do worry about the
ones.
A lot
of restaurants, too.
Yeah, the restaurants, we saw some fold during PPP or during the COVID. But a lot of them are now doing pretty well. I think people are pretty anxious to get out and enjoy a good meal again.
I think it's still a staffing issue.
Staffing's a big problem. And we've seen some restaurants open for fewer hours. Because of staffing.
Yeah, it's national, though. That's the thing that I don't – it's not regionalized. It's not just us. You know, I'm sure you talk to your buddies across the country. Same. And the ongoing question, consistently across the board, how are these people surviving? Are you seeing with the credit card balances, are you seeing those go up? Is that how people are surviving?
We don't have any evidence, nor do we track that on a systemic basis. We don't have a credit card program, so... we don't own a credit card portfolio, so we can't really look at one to say, you know, based on what our customers are doing.
But you have inside knowledge on a bunch of stuff.
But the knowledge that we have is credit card balances in general are up. At the same time, we're seeing, you know, pretty robust consumer demand continues.
Yeah, other than in housing.
Housing, the big problem there is housing. There isn't enough of it.
No, I was thinking the financing of new construction.
Well, you know, your buying power is substantially down with rates going up. And they're not at historic highs. They're just up from historic lows.
It's all relative, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It feels like they're high.
What do you see? I'm seeing that the Fed is still talking about taking it up to knock inflation down.
Yeah, I think we still have at least... for this year, a 3/4 would be the minimum.
What does that take? 7.5, 8?
And then we'd see at most 1.5, I think. But they're going to react to, you know, the numbers each time they meet to see where we're going.
Well, and with the credit card rates being tied to that or linked to that. You know, that could slow things up pretty quick, which to me is still weird because if you slow it up, then that means manufacturing shuts down or less, and retailing shuts down or does a little bit less. And the same with eating out. I mean, it's across the board dampener or killer, I guess, if that's the goal. And
well, I'm not going to pretend to be an economist, and what I do know of economic theory is it all changed. It is different than when I went to school, and a lot of the relationships between this and that have changed.
You mean the abacus is no longer employed?
Yeah. It's gathering dust.
All right. So are we, so we better get out of here. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always good to see you, Brian.